Hey guys, Maria Taylor here, and it is just going to be ladies on the Beyond the Lights podcast. We're welcoming in Adrienne Lawrence, who tells the story of going from a lawyer to on SportsCenter. It's pretty incredible. Make sure you use the Listen tab of the ESPN app.
Beat reporter Jason Leisure will join us in about 15 minutes. He's depressed. He's dark. He's the Dolphins beat guy. This is going to be a really long season for him. The season's over.
Yeah.
Those are the worst kinds of seasons to cover when you're someone who works for a newspaper. He's with the Palm Beach Post, but when the team plays in the violence business and is out of it.
Yeah. Could be worse. Could be baseball, right? Like, he's got to suffer through, what, another 12 games? Baseball, you're out after 50. You got to suffer through another, what, 110? Something like that?
You're right. It could be worse. How about this on Ryan Tannehill from Vice Sports? Because I think people are done now with Tannehill, right?
Yes.
And Vice Sports is writing about how he can become the next Sam Bradford, as if that's much of a compliment. I mean, it's a funny thing to say, but basically the Vikings are so good at defense that if Sam Bradford doesn't turn the ball over and just scores 17 points, that's good enough. But look at this. How do you make an assessment on the quarterback when what I'm about to read is so? Yeah. This year, according to Pro Football Focus, he's been under pressure more often than any other quarterback in the NFL. Per Sports Info Solutions, Tannehill also has broken more tackles than any quarterback in the league through week four. So yesterday you saw that two of the offensive linemen, two guys drafted in the third round and the fourth round, Dallas Thomas and Billy Turner, were released.
Mm-hmm.
Miami as a team has broken 14 tackles. Tannehill has broken 11 of them.
Okay.
Like, how do you make an assessment? Is it even fair to make an assessment on the quarterback when he has been the most hit quarterback in the league basically the entire time he's been back there? The most pressured guy in the league the entire time he's been back there. How do you make an assessment when that's the case?
It's really difficult to make an assessment. I mean, it's really, really difficult. And I criticize his pocket presence, but based on what you just read, right?
No, he doesn't have pocket presence. He just breaks tackles. He's tough. He's strong.
He's a good athlete. Yeah.
No, his pocket presence is not great. No, it's not. That's a fair criticism of him.
But, you know, the offensive line has been an issue since he's been here. I don't know how you make an assessment. So, like, what do you do if you're the Dolphins? Do you try to, like, at some point, you have to make a decision on Ryan Tannehill being your quarterback moving forward. And that point is basically right now.
No,
this season.
What's going to happen is what happened with Bradford. He'll be good if he's good someplace else. That's what's going to happen.
But do you think Tannehill would be a really good quarterback if he had a good off? If he was playing behind Dallas's offensive line, do you think he'd be a really, really good quarterback?
I think just about anybody except Whedon and Castle would be a good quarterback behind that offensive line.
I mean, Sam Bradford's a pretty on-the-money comparison, though, because it's rare when you have a guy playing for this long and you can't really get a read on him, and that was what Sam Bradford's career was due to injury. And
yeah, but his reason was because he was hurt.
Well, injury Tannehill, and poor talent around.
Tannehill, actually, the greatest thing that you could say about Tannehill is that he's tough. And the worst thing that you can say about the Dolphins is they're 1-4 and their season's done, even though they don't have any quarterback injury. I mean, look at what's happening with the Brown. It'll wreck a season, your quarterback. He never gets hurt.
Nope.
He plays every damn game. But it is... Imagine if you were Tannehill. It becomes impossible. You're not allowed to explain. It seems to me a fair thing to say that Tannehill has been betrayed by the people who pick the personnel and the personnel around him. That seems fair. He gets hit way too much. They use all these draft picks that they're not using elsewhere,
right,
on the offensive line. We talked yesterday about how it's three offensive linemen that they've used a first-round pick on, plus Brandon Albert, someone else's first-round pick.
Right.
And it was two-thirds and a fourth. And those are all, and you still get him hit more than any quarterback in the league. And they're not good. Like, some of the stats on them, going into the last game, some of the stats on them that were just terrible. Like, you cannot win with these kind of stats. It's not possible to win when you're in a situation where you're dead last in time of possession and third down conversions.
Right. Pretty difficult to win. So what do you do? Like, what would you do with Tannehill? I'm agreeing with you. It's hard to make an assessment. A lot of the blame on Tannehill really should go to, you know, the people that are selecting these players, the players that are actually playing around Ryan Tannehill. What do you do with Tannehill? Because the numbers aren't terrible. They're not terrible on Tannehill the last 2 years. He's had 24 interceptions last 2 years.
It would be so easy for him if they had any competence in personnel for him at the very least to be Andy Dalton.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do better than Tannehill. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to start over in a draft? It's just remarkable to me that they've gotten him so little help so that we can make an accurate assessment on what the hell he is. And then, I don't know if you guys have seen, but the Dolphins are in a super precarious position. Have you guys seen what the ratings are for the Dolphins? Have you guys read anything about the ratings for the Dolphins?
No.
That that Dolphin game against Cincinnati is... It's thought to be the lowest rated Dolphin primetime game ever. And their local average is the worst among all NFL markets. So people have given up on this team. And I don't know if you looked in the stands against the Titans, but good God, that was like, that didn't look like, that did not look
right.
Like an NFL game, how empty the place was.
Why would you go see this team? I mean, they lose. They're boring. If you're going to lose, be the Chargers.
Well, but I mean, you could do that, but that's fine. But all the other teams that lose don't have this kind of attendance.
I mean, it's the second game in essentially a brand new stadium. Like, it usually gets you a bit more of a novelty than this. Like, you ask, why would you go see this team? You'd go to experience a new stadium.
But people are tired of this team, Mike. They're just tired of this team. It's not an exciting team. There's really no stars on the team, and they're boring. So, and you go to the Canes game the night before, you're certainly not going to go to the Dolphin game the next day.
I get you, but when you pump this much money into your new stadium to make it easier for your fans to sit through a game, you'd think you'd get more people out there for the second home game.
I don't, again, there are teams in the league as bad as Miami. No place is as bad when it comes to watching on television, and I don't see this crowd at in Cleveland, where they've got no hope whatsoever.
Right.
You talk about bad and boring. They got no hope whatsoever.
Fair.
We get the team that we deserve, and the team gets the fan. This team gets the fan base it deserves. Like, this is a mutual relationship. In terms, the fans should be fed up with this team, but we also have less patience around here than anywhere else. Like, we will give up faster than anywhere else because Buffalo's been in the same situation as Miami. Buffalo has been in the same situation as Miami. Buffalo has gone longer without making the playoffs.
They have. I was going to say, Dolphin fans have been going through this for a while now.
There are a lot of people that have been going through it. The Cleveland Browns have been going through it for a long time. They don't have the lowest ratings of any local market, and they don't have a new stadium. And I'm not even ripping the fans. I'm saying that this is we've all earned each other here on this one.
Right.
I don't blame the fans for not going. In fact, I'm surprised that Cleveland and Buffalo and these places continue to support what is an inferior product when the league legislates equity. So I don't blame you for not going, but you're in a super super precarious place as a business when this is the case. When over the course of the last 10 years, this is no longer a football town. That happened, and I didn't think that would ever happen in my lifetime. And it's been corrosive. The idea that the Miami Dolphins would have the lowest ranking on television locally of any market is something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. So it's not just that you've lost your market to the Miami Heat, which is one thing. You've lost your market. It's not just to the Miami Heat.
Right.
People are so fed up with your team that it's not even angry. It's the worst thing you can have from your customers, indifference. The worst thing. You'd rather they be angry. Indifference is a plague. Indifference will wreck your business. People do not care.
They don't care.
Don't care enough to hurt.
Yeah. Very depressing opening segment here.
Texter writes in, yes, Dan, you are absolutely ripping the fans. Was I? Did it really sound like that?
You said the fans deserve this team.
I mean, they deserve.
And I think a lot of people would argue the fans actually deserve better. They deserve better than this team. That the Dolphin fans are a loyal fan base and have been for a very long time, but this has been, you know, a decade and a half of just mediocre, boring football, maybe longer, with one division title sprinkled in there when Tom Brady got hurt. And even that season was boring.
When I say they deserve this team, those numbers are the worst. Those are the worst locally, so what you're getting is the worst team. That's what I mean by that. The worst local market anywhere when it comes to football. If you're the worst, that's what you deserve. And the Dolphins have earned the worst. It's symbiotic. It's absolutely symbiotic.
And that Cincinnati game, correct me if I'm wrong, it was coming off of a win and back-to-back moral victories. So that was like your season on the line. So there was incentive to watch, right?
Yeah.
It's not like it was a Tennessee game.
Well, it was not back-to-back moral victories. You had back-to-back moral victories.
The Browns
win. New England, yep.
But the Cleveland game didn't feel like a win.
No, that was a moral victory for the Browns, maybe.
The Cleveland game did not feel like a win. The Cleveland game, the weirdest three-game start to the Dolphin season ever, where you lose the first two games, but it feels like a moral victory, and you win the third one, and it feels like a loss.
Right. The losses felt better.
But that's in bigger indictment on that Cincinnati game, though, because that was like your season on the line, basically. You had every reason to watch, and the ratings are terrible. Like, it's not the Tennessee game we're talking about. That's a Thursday night primetime game, only game in town.
I wonder, I feel like part of the reason that ratings are down all around the league, and some people are blaming the protests, and some people are blaming the election year, and it is all of these things. But did you watch the Monday night game at all?
No, I did not.
It was a really bad football game. And the thing that makes the television rating make sense, why would you watch the Dolphins beyond anger? And what reason are they giving you to tune in when the only thing they're good at is second in the league in punting? Like, why? What do the Dolphins have that brings anyone to the television? So that's, I forgot they were playing Sunday because I'm sitting there watching the Red Zone. And I mean, it goes 25 minutes before I get anything, and the first thing I get is a Tennessee score. I'm dead serious when I ask you, what do they have that would make anybody buy merchandise, that would make anybody come to your television, I need to see this. Their punt returner? The tiny punt returner?
Is that Aiken?
Sue? Is that
That's
Aiken?
Not Aiken. I wish you just sat it out. No, I wish you just sat it out.
And you went out. You floated out there on the return. There was no way I was.
I know. Well,
out
I was looking for help
returner.
Somewhere in the room. And well, this is a larger.
I think the last name starts with an A.
This is a larger.
Dude, I did
frustration.
Not watch any football.
This is
on
a
Sunday.
Larger frustration I have with Stugatz. Like, I feel like these are the things that Stugatz has got to cover me on, and less do I get covered on. Sort of.
You want me to cover you on the Dolphins punt returner?
Because you're a fantasy person.
Jakeem Grant.
I was close.
Aiken. The part that I hate, this is the part that I hate, and I came in here today thinking to myself, I'm going to try and be more gentle, and you've done about 10 things in this segment that have come close to setting me up, and I've had to swallow each of them, but this is the part that I hate. Mm. If I say the punt returner, you could have either made fun of me, Dan, you don't know his name, or you could have given me his name. But instead, you limped in, or I'm sorry, you didn't limp in. You came in with a great deal of conviction and got a name, made up a total name that exposes to the audience that we don't have any idea what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make it so much worse. I'm not kidding you.
So you're telling me what I should have done?
Stugatz, I came in here.
Because you should have started the show with a different topic.
This is Rachel Liu, and on the ESPN Esports Podcast, we commemorate the death of StarCraft Pro League. We also go over the League of Legends World Championship semifinals at MSG. Be sure to subscribe in the Listen tab of the ESPN app.
Don Lebatard.
Texter writes in, talk some puck.
Stugatz.
Puck you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on the ticket.
Jason Leisure covers the Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post. He joins us right now on the Orion Fuel and Downstairs Convenience Store guest line. They are truly steps beyond convenient.
Not surprisingly, everyone in the audience is Team Gatz. Everyone's mad at me. Why can't you go one day, Dan, without complaining? I was trying to. But then he totally made up a name for a punt returner. And when I tell you there are 10 things that he did in the first segment that annoyed me, one of them was that he said he didn't watch the Monday Night Football game after yesterday, talking about how great Gruden was on the Monday Night Football game.
That's the only part of the game. I saw.
But I'm just saying, I can't keep track of all the lies.
I happened to click over, and that was the only part of the game saw.
I don't believe you now. I didn't believe you then. I can't keep track. What I'm saying is that happens 10 times a segment. Mm-hmm. Just nothing's true, nothing's right.
Oh, wow!
Jason Leisure joins us now from the Palm Beach Post. And everyone sides with him. You guys...
Well, they love me, Dan. I don't know what to tell you.
You guys are going to be so sad when I kill myself. And I just,
Oh, because, you're not going to do that. Will you stop? Don't even say that, man. What's the matter with you?
Because it's a huge frustration.
I know, but now you're making...
Do you need me here for this?
No, we don't, actually. And now,
Be our... Jason Leisure can be our marriage counselor, for sure.
But you just said that in a way where if you did kill yourself, I would be responsible for that.
That's right.
That makes me feel horrible. I love you, dude. Listen, you don't like me.
All right, stop lying.
I love you. I'm sorry. I'm not lying.
No, I didn't mean you were lying.
I look you in the eyes. I love you, man.
I didn't mean stop lying about loving me. I mean stop lying at everything. Stop lying about watching Monday Night Football.
I will stop lying, Dan. You have my word.
No, for the love of God. Jason Leisure with us, Palm Beach Post. He's the beat reporter for the Dolphins. And we were just talking about this before you came on, Jason. Adam Gase has said that Tannehill is their quarterback for the season, no matter what. Is that a belief in Tannehill, or is that, look, we are making an evaluation this year, no matter what, on Ryan Tannehill? Because I'm guessing when I heard those comments, what I felt was they've already talked in-house about this being a make-or-break year for Ryan Tannehill.
Well, it could be a lot of things. And that's the most obvious one, I think, because they can get out of his deal at the end of this year. But it also could be they don't have a lot of confidence that things would get better with Moore or Doty. I'm not totally convinced that Adam Gase is going to stick by that. If Ryan Tannehill continues to underperform, I can't see Adam Gase just tying the season to him no matter what.
How is it possible, though, Jason, and I know they've had some injuries, and so maybe that's the explanation, but how is it possible that they've got four first-round picks on the offensive line, two third-rounders, a fourth-rounder, and they are horrific at blocking?
They've got not only the health has been a problem, but not only do they have three of their own first-round draft picks on that line that they have spent, top 20 picks that they have spent on that line, they've got the sixth most expensive offensive line in the league. But they're tying up 18% of their salary cap in an offensive line that's not getting them anywhere, that they have no run game, the pass protection is shaky. As far as the reason for that, it hurts a lot when you don't have your starting left guard and left tackle. That's a good start trying to figure out their problems.
It also hurts a lot, though, when two of the guys that you took in the third and fourth round you had to release yesterday because they were so incompetent that you just released them in the middle of the season.
And Juwan James hasn't been very good. Juwan James, one of their own first-round picks, just has not been reliable at right tackle.
Jason, is Tannehill underperforming or are the guys around him underperforming? It's a tough one to kind of figure out.
I think it's both. I think that even if you made everything perfect around Ryan Tannehill, he's kind of just in the middle. He's just kind of, right around halfway when you're making your list of best quarterbacks in the league. That's if everything around him is right. So, you have a lot of guys that have issues on their offensive line or with their skill players, and the really great quarterbacks will find a way to make that work.
Can you explain to us? We talked to Peter King yesterday of Sports Illustrated, and he was telling us that Tannenbaum's not really – he's a deal maker more than he is an evaluator. Tannenbaum, I thought, was given too much power in this organization and was given an amount of power that I don't believe he had earned. Are you with me on that, or do you disagree?
Well, I agree that their evaluation doesn't seem very good. I mean, when you look through their personnel, through just their starting 22, you know, you just don't see a lot of guys that other teams would really covet other than Jarvis Landry. And when you look at their offensive and defensive line where they've committed their money and their draft picks, I mean, they've got almost half of their payroll on the offensive and defensive line, and you're not seeing the kind of results that you would expect for that. And you have a good player like Ndamukong Suh, for example, and maybe that's what it costs to get him, but that might not have been the most prudent move for them at the time.
What are they good at? Punting and what else? Yeah, good answer. I mean,
they're really good at punting, though.
Yeah,
they're really good, second in the league.
They're really good.
Except when their punter shoves a guy late and he gets a sportsmanlike penalty. But other than that, they're really good at punting.
If you had to search for the second thing that they're good at, like, I will be silent until you find it.
Might be a better segment.
Will we be going for the rest of time?
Jarvis Landry, is that... That's not a verb, but is that an answer?
Let's talk about you.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering if we're going to do Dolphins or crap on my career choices again.
Well, let's talk about you. How you holding up, man?
I'm fine, man. I'm happy. How about you guys? You guys sound like you're in rough shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we are, but we're talking about you now, and you're covering the Dolphins, so...
I kind of thought we'd have trouble keeping this going past 1 week.
And now you feel like you have proof of that?
A little bit.
Okay. So you thought it should have been like one date and we should have just stopped doing this? Because we want to talk about your general misery. Like, describe the scene for us on Sunday. How sad was that stadium?
Well, pretty sad. There were some empty University of Miami cups laying around the bleachers when I walked in there. They were still trying to clean that up. So there was some lingering sadness. And then the Dolphins just added to that.
Mm-hmm. But I saw some crowd shots, and it was kind of mortifying. I guess there's nothing that steals your soul like the Titans going 10 plays on a drive, all of them running plays. Like, who wants to watch that?
That's the thing that can stick. Continues to confuse me, and maybe it's just because I'm relatively new at this, is there are so many other things to do.
Like anything.
Like on a Sunday? Like, why would anyone be there?
On any day. I mean, yeah. Even right now, instead of listening to us talk about it.
All right, so wait a minute. So what you're saying is you're surprised that anyone is at the stadium, that what the Dolphins deserve is for nobody to be there because they're too busy in the sunshine windsurfing?
It's not what they deserve, but if you've made a list of like 30 things you could do with your Sunday afternoon, I mean.
All right. Well, put us in the car, you know, this Sunday. Put us in your car. You're driving to the game,
okay.
Playing the Steelers. You know they're going to be down 28 at half. Put us in Jason Leisure's car. What's going on there? What are you thinking? How are you feeling?
Just trying to figure out if I'm going to be home in time for dinner.
And any questioning of your career choices? Any questioning like that?
This week has actually been interesting because you had that Laramie Tunsil injury Sunday morning, just this mysterious injury that happens at the team hotel before the game. So when we went in Monday, Adam Gase is getting peppered with questions about shower habits, and I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, man, this has finally gotten interesting. This is like the kind of press conference I've been waiting for here. And then we went into the locker room to talk to Tunsil about it, and he wasn't there, so... It kind of fell flat.
Leisure, what is happening with your life when you're like, okay, this is exciting, talking about the guards' showering habits, and you're like, yes, finally some news.
Well, when was the last interesting thing to happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I just love the idea. Do you guys believe him, by the way? Like, what's the story there? First of all, what is the Tunsil? What are they alleging the Tunsil injury is, and are we believing their allegation?
The story from Adam Gase is that Laramie Tunsil woke up in the team hotel Sunday morning, 100%, you know, completely sober and right-minded, and slipped in the shower somehow and hurt his ankle, and that's it. That's really the extent of the details. And I couldn't tell you if that's true. Gase had a fairly convincing, you know, believable story about how he found out. There were some details on that You know, you would have had to go to some work to make up. So I'm inclined to believe him.
It is so excellent that their first round pick along an offensive line that can't block on the morning of the game isn't, you know, is too clumsy to get out of the shower.
I'm not happy or laughing at him getting injured, by the way. At least it's an interesting story.
That's good and responsible of you, but we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm separating myself from
I don't
that,
I don't blame
I don't,
you.
I don't blame you either. I mean, you should. You have a job to do. You have to take it seriously. You seem so depressed, though, man. Like, the texters are chiming in here. Like, they feel terrible for
people
you,
love sad beat yeah. guy.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm very, very hopeful now that the Dolphins will somehow pull off a win Sunday.
That's not true at all.
Come on.
Well, I wouldn't have to come on then.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. All right. We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk to you next week. Good catching up with you, Jason.
Yeah, you guys too.
College football lives here. SEC West rivals face off in Death Valley. Ole Miss heads to Baton Rouge behind a rushing defense allowing over 200 yards per game.
Fournette, 3-2-1, touchdown!
They'll be put to the test against LSU and the return of running back Leonard Fournette. Number 23, Ole Miss. Number 25, LSU. Coverage begins Saturday at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Presented by Dr. Pepper.
Don Levitard.
Whiteside has told Ira Winderman, you're going to want to have a Heat jersey next season. Quote, that's all I'm going to say.
Love that. Love it, man. What do you think he means by that?
Stugatz.
That's perfect right there. No, but that is perfect. What you just did is perfect. And you didn't even realize that you were doing it. That's what's great about you. I love that, man. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Whiteside, you're the best. What do you mean? Huh? What's that mean?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on the ticket.
I want to talk through some of this stuff here because some of the angst you hear in my voice. And the last couple of days, I've been petulant and it's been ugly. And I don't like myself the last couple of days or the way that I'm behaving. These problems are real. And I want to get some of this out and talk about it publicly because we like to be transparent as a show. And I would say that the last year of this show has been the unhappiest in this year's existence. I don't think there's any disputing that right now. We're grading on a curve.
In this show's existence.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah. In the show's existence, mm-hmm. We're grading on a curve, right? Because we're hugely grateful for what it is that we do, and we have a lot of fun every day, and we don't have many complaints about work. So for it to be the unhappiest year in this show's existence is still, by any measurement, a hugely happy and successful year.
Yeah, I think it got better in May.
Yeah, when we changed studios, that helped. But I am having, pretty consistently, less fun than we used to have while acknowledging that we still have an enormous amount of fun around here. But the starting point on this for me is it has to be fun. Otherwise, there's no reason for me to do it this late
right.
in life on just about anything I'm doing professionally. Now, I'm somebody who in the past has taken a sabbatical from work. I stopped doing stuff for a year because I got fried and like I'm in a bad space with some of this stuff. When I came in here today, actively trying to be gentle and got frustrated 10 times in the first segment. Now, this happened yesterday. Now, you guys don't know what it's like to be married to him and vice versa, by the way. Vice versa. Like,
well, thanks for pointing that out.
You don't know what it's like to be married to me. But what I'm saying is these marriages don't tend to last this long. Like, we've had a great run. These things break up. Mike and Mike go and do different things. Mike and the Mad Dog go and do different things. Like, these marriages do not last.
What's happening right now? Are you guys getting a divorce? Are you trying to tell us something?
Let him talk, man.
I'm trying to get some of this out because yesterday, here's the thing. Stugatz continues to be rewarded for being less and less prepared. And I'm getting more and more frustrated by him not being able to cover up some of the details that I do the big stuff. That's my thing's the macro.
Right.
I do the big societal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for the punt returner for the Dolphins, but you guys know how much I care about Miami. You guys know
how much I care about Miami.
Right.
And so when I can't find the name of the punt returner in my head because I'm getting old and I'm forgetting names, and then we go to Stugatz on it, and not only does he point out that I can't find it, but then just totally makes up a name. We look so stupid as a show. Like, so stupid. Like, you shouldn't listen to us on anything because we're idiots.
Do you think you're the only one here getting older?
But
you think I'm getting younger?
I know, but you're...
Man, nobody knows that punt returner.
I mean, no one knows.
Except
I mean,
that's diehard.
It's an odd thing to get upset about.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Nobody knows his name. People who follow the Dolphins and care about the Dolphins absolutely know his name.
And as you pointed out, fewer and fewer people do.
Okay, but that's not it's not an excuse for how often we're bad. It's not an excuse for how often we're not prepared for anything. And because I have a daily television show, I'm more prepared than Stugatz on stuff when I lean on him to cover us on some of this stuff. But here's what happens yesterday on the television show. Stugatz is sitting in for Bomani, and he just got, like, this is the thing that's becoming a daily nightmare for me. A daily nightmare. This is how the show started, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you the producer, first of all, he waddles in late.
He was late. He was in the studio.
I know. I don't know how he was late.
I was right here. I mean, he was
5 feet away.
I had to wait for you to get out of the makeup chair, and then I sat in the makeup chair.
Mr. Gotts, who was the last person to sit on the set of the television show?
Well, it was me, but I was being nice. It's your show. It's your studio. I was allowing you and Poppy to have your makeup done first.
You were eating. Courteous. Gotts, you were eating. So we're sitting in there, and he waddles in late. Everyone's waiting for him. And the producers say to him, and he's done the show before, so he knows how we start. The first thing we tape is, Stugatz, what's on the show today? Give him a sentence. What do you like on the show today? Give him a sentence. They say, so he's done the show before, but beyond that, he's not merely done the show. The producers remind him, because they know it's Stugatz, they remind him, Stugatz, just keep it short. Just one little thing here, one sentence of what we have coming up on the show today that's a tease. And look at how the show starts. It's the very first thing we do. He's still chewing. He's still chewing. It's the very first thing we do.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Stugatz over there. What do you like on the show today, Stugatz?
I love this Kevin Durant conversation and whether or not his teammates should be mad he was rooting for them to lose in the NBA Finals last year. No, they shouldn't. They lost.
Oh, give your take later. Dale, Poppy.
Wanted to get it out there, man. I had a hot one, man. I couldn't wait.
He's a national treasure.
Yes, he is.
I think that's what upsets Dan.
I don't know if I can help you here. Like, it's adorable.
No,
I'm going to come hug you right now.
I think that is where we've reached our breaking point, though. Like, I think that is the problem. I'm not even saying Stugatz is the problem. How I receive Stugatz is the problem. I'm not sitting here blaming Stugatz for being Stugatz. We've rewarded Stugatz over many years for being Stugatz. I'm not even blaming him. I'm saying that I'm more fed up with what that's become than I've ever been.
It feels like you're blaming me. Just from where I'm sitting, it feels like you're blaming me.
I can't blame you too much for being you. I'm absolutely telling you and the audience right now that it has nothing to do, well, it does have something to do with how awful and immoral you are. But beyond that,
whoa.
How I receive you is less tolerant than it ever has been. And so I don't know that you're actually a lot different. I just know that I have a lot less patience for it than I've ever had. A lot less patience. And I feel like that's on me, because what I see happening in the audience all the time is on every single thing, they side with Stugatz. Which is, again, making me think of a sabbatical.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, because I feel like I need to get away from this for a while.
Yeah. Well, get away from me is what you're saying. Just come out and say it. No, it's fine. No, I can handle it. I'm an adult.
No, but again, Stugatz, again, I'm receiving you poorly. I don't think it's because you're actually that different. Mike is sitting there and he's laughing and everyone in the other room is laughing at you being you.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Stugatz over there. What do you like on the show today, Stugatz?
I love this Kevin Durant conversation and whether or not his teammates should be mad he was rooting for them to lose in the NBA Finals last year. No, they shouldn't. They lost.
Oh, give your take later. Dale, Poppy.
I mean, they had just told him.
How long were you going to go?
No, I heard. I heard.
You did hear the producer. Yeah, how long were you going to go?
Maybe, you know, another 25 minutes.
So I'm going to say 6 p.m. Sports Center.
Yeah. So really what's happening here is the guys are kind of telling you, I am what I am. I haven't really changed too much. You just don't like me as much as you used to. That's it. You've grown tired of it, which is fine. We'll have to talk about this off air or on air.
No, we'll talk about it on air, but I'm less
patient. Well, if you're taking a sabbatical, that's something we need to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like we need to talk about that.
We need to have a discussion.
Because I felt like we were back, baby.
So right up until Monday. Yeah, Monday. And I could actually pinpoint Monday at around 12:30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were having a good show on Monday.
We were.
12:30.
Monday was still a good show.
I'm pretty sure that Monday at 12:30 is when I took the headset and threw them against a wall and they broke.
Yeah.
And I apologized to everybody and felt guilt late into the night that night because my rage had manifested itself in not being able to be suppressed and embarrassing myself in front of you guys by breaking something. Is that the 12:30 you're talking about?
That happened at 12:30, huh?
Yeah, just about.
We were keeping track of it. But you did apologize, and my immediate response, Mike's immediate response was... You're good, Levitz. Don't worry about it. It happens, right?
I still feel bad about it.
So I'm very forgiving of some of the things that you do. You don't seem to be as forgiving with some of the mistakes that I make.
I mean, they're so plentiful.
I know. It's hard.
But
I feel terrible. I'm being honest.
I feel awful for me.
Well, how about me?
I come in here, I'm dead serious that quietly, I didn't even tell anybody. I came in here today consciously. Dan, be more gentle. Be more gentle. You sounded petulant the last couple of days. You sound like a brat. Nobody likes that guy. Nobody wants to be the guy. Like, nobody wants to root for the guy. Like, we've got so many reasons to be grateful around here. And then to come off as ungrateful. And I'm telling you, I was swallowing the feeling 10 different times during the first segment until eventually the fight is never about the fight, right? You know, you left the toilet seat up. It's about all the resentments that build up in the marriage before. It's not about the punt returner for the Dolphins, but I'm telling you, it happened 10 times in that segment where he's lying about Monday Night Football. And I can't tell whether he's lying this time or he was lying yesterday about watching Monday Night Football. I don't even know. One of them's a lie. Maybe they're both lies. Maybe somehow he's lying about both things while taking the opposite side. And
I've always done that. Since when did you know? Since when have you cared? That's the question. That's what you need to examine.
Yes,
that's really. I mean, I don't want to play pop psychologist here, but that's what you really need to sit down on the couch and examine.
Well, but okay, but let me ask this question.
I'll help you through it. By the way, I will talk you through it because I know what I am, and I know that I'm exasperating, and I know I'm frustrating to be around. And you've been around me probably 12 years longer than I thought you would be around me, and I understand what you're saying. I'm being honest here. This is an honest moment for me. I understand how frustrated you are. I do, because I know how frustrating I am.
Well, but let me figure this part out. I really do want to.
I love you, though.
I do want to figure this part out. Well, I unfortunately love you, too. It's just the problem of not liking you.
Well, that's problematic.
And I'm wondering, Mike, as I go deep inside myself here, trying to be introspective and see the parts of this that I'm to blame for. Is it getting worse? Not the relationship. Is Stugatz's Stugatzianness getting worse, or am I simply less patient with it than I've ever been? Because I do find myself more and more frustrated by just a lack of preparation, a lack of any, like, hasn't watched X, doesn't know why, and so I keep lobbing it over there, and you guys see it when it makes an appearance, and I'm stimulated by Pablo Torre, or Bomani comes on yesterday, and he says something that I just hadn't considered at all, and you see where I'm stimulated.
Well, excuse me for not being them.
Yeah. This is awkward. Now you're thinking about the other girls, man.
I mean, this is crazy.
Took a little bit more than 7 years, but we got the itch now, huh?
Yep, yeah.
These marriages don't last this long.
Like, I mean, Sugatz's marriage has lasted this long.
Somehow, yeah.
Like, he's made it work.
I mean, the second they go to college, he's leaving.
To answer your question, I think the only thing that's changed about Stugatz is the platform.
And here's the other thing, while we're on the topic. My wife keeps asking me to get more and more life insurance.
Oh, she's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's hiring someone.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm in two marriages. One's going to end, it seems like, today. And the other one, I got like 5 or 6 years to go.
I don't know if this one's ending, but
there may be a break after that, man. Me and Roy.
Yeah.
Yep. We're golfing. So what do you want to do here, Dano?
Well, I'm getting killed by text, and it's not surprising. And I think what I'm going to do is take a sabbatical. I think I'm going to quit for a year.
Oh.
Run off by the texters, not by you. Run off by the texters.
Yeah, but it's really me.
Because I got to go examine. I got to go, like, you know, go on a safari, wander the earth or something.
So like a full year?
Giraffes.
Well, here, I have a suggestion. Do you want me to take off for a year?
No, because I don't want to do the show without you. No. I don't want to do the show without you.
I mean, if I get paid to sit out for a year, you can have Pablo here and Bomani and whoever you want. It doesn't matter. And we'll see how you feel in a year. Maybe you'll miss me. Maybe I'll miss you. I mean, who knows? As long as I'm paid, I'm good. I mean, it's a bat mitzvah year, man. I got to get paid. It's a bat mitzvah year. I'm willing to do that for you because I feel terrible for you. I appreciate you saying you don't want to do the show without me. I don't know if I believe it, but I appreciate you saying that.
Man, look, I'm many things. A liar is not one of them.
Well, that is true. You've never lied.
It's Stugatz with a sacrifice. I'm willing to take off a year with pay for you.
Good on you. I mean, if it helps, I'll, you know, find some other outlets, I think.
Should we be updating our resumes?
All right, good, man.
I feel like, good. Yeah, tonight.
I did that already.
I got it. How does LinkedIn work?
Yeah, log in, man.
Is this real?
I have a LinkedIn account.
I feel like everybody has a link. I don't know. I'm just sick of your LinkedIn emails. All right, people?
Yeah.
Stop sending me your LinkedIn
emails.
They are
annoying.
Yeah, we need it.
Actually, don't. Now you can continue sending those.
Yeah.
Sabbatical, man.
I mean, people are calling me all sorts of names via text. I'm just sitting here being honest. I'm telling you, the last 2 days have been rough in terms of the number of the amount I've been talking to people about. My temperament is off. I'm getting angry about stuff. Like, I don't get angry. I don't. There are not physical manifestations of my anger. That's not something that people who love me have ever seen in my life. You guys think I'm kidding? This ain't no bit. Like, we're worried.
It's the return of Leonard Fournette when LSU welcomes Ole Miss to Death Valley Saturday night.
Toss, dive, Fournette, 3-2-1, touchdown. Leonard Fournette.
Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio.